What if you could discover 800 years of new materials in less than a year? This week, Google DeepMind's AI did just that, identifying 2.2 million new stable crystal structures, more than all such materials previously known to humanity. The age of trial and error R&D is over. The race to industrialize AI-driven discovery is on. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's reshaping industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, the dam has broken. For years, we've talked about AI and material science as a promising research area, but a flood of funding, national strategic plans, and commercial deployments show it's moved from the lab to the production line. We're seeing a fundamental shift in how physical products, from batteries to semiconductors, will be invented and manufactured.
Exactly. This is no longer about screening existing compounds faster. It's about active inverse design, defining the properties you need, like heat resistance or conductivity, and having an AI generate a novel, stable, and manufacturable material to meet those specs. This week, we're seeing the US, Europe, and China stake their claims in this new industrial revolution.
Let's start with that global competition, Troy. It sounds like this has escalated into a strategic priority for entire economic blocks.
It has, and the investments are scaling rapidly. In Germany, the government just launched the Ascend project, a 30 million euro initiative involving giants like BASF. They're building autonomous, self-driving labs where an AI designs a catalyst, a robot synthesizes and tests it, and the results are fed back into the AI in a closed loop.
A closed loop? So it gets smarter with every experiment, with minimal human intervention.
Precisely. And that's not an isolated case. Dunia Innovations is investing a massive 280 million euros into a Berlin gigalab for the same purpose, focusing on energy storage, semiconductors, and alternatives to critical raw materials. This is Europe building industrial-scale infrastructure for AI-driven discovery.
So how does that compare to what we're seeing from the US and China?
The US is taking a coordinated public-private approach. The Department of Energy just announced a new physics-aware AI framework that embeds principles from quantum mechanics and thermodynamics directly into the AI models. This prevents the AI from proposing materials that are physically impossible. At the same time, programs like America Makes are funding projects to use AI to qualify new 3D printed materials like 17.4 pH stainless steel, dramatically cutting testing costs.
In China, we've heard about their AI for science strategy. Is it bearing fruit?
It is. Chinese firms are already shipping products. Xiaomi used AI to design new lightweight metal alloys for its consumer electronics. A company called DeepChem has deployed autonomous labs for high-throughput experiments. And DeepTech used AI to optimize the production of sodium-ion battery materials.
What's the bottom line for a US or European manufacturer hearing this?
It means your international competitors are about to radically shorten their R&D cycles. A new material that once took a decade to develop might now take 18 months. This is a direct competitive threat to any company that relies on material innovation. Western executives need to ask if their R&D operations are structured to compete on speed and data, not just on legacy expertise.
Okay, so the race is on. Let's get into the technology itself. You mentioned inverse design and physics-aware AI. How is this actually working? What's changed to make this possible now?
The big change is a shift from purely data-driven models to constrained generative models. Early AI would look at a database and generate thousands of new structures, but many would be chemically unstable or impossible to synthesize. It created a lot of noise.
Just because a pattern exists in data doesn't mean it works in the real world.
Exactly. But now, new methods are building the rules of chemistry and physics directly into the AI. Researchers at MIT just introduced a framework called CRISP-VCD that incorporates the principle of valence, how atoms bond. This ensures the AI generates chemically valid and stable crystal structures. It's the difference between an AI that writes nonsense words and one that writes grammatically correct sentences.
So it's more targeted, less of a statistical guessing game. How are companies applying this?
We're seeing it in patent applications. A new PatSnap report highlights a 2026 patent from IBM that focuses on embedding practical constraints like synthesizability and manufacturing cost directly into the generative AI. It's not just asking for a material with certain properties. It's asking for a material that can be made affordably at scale.
That's a huge leap.
What about trading companies and distributors in this space?
They need to understand that the sources of new high-performance materials are about to change. Instead of just sourcing from established chemical giants, they'll see a wave of innovative materials coming from highly specialized startups and AI-driven platforms. Market timing becomes critical. A revolutionary new polymer or alloy could emerge much faster than traditional supply chains are prepared for.
So the actionable insight for executives is to stop thinking of AI as just a data analysis tool.
Correct. It is now a generative R&D engine. You need to evaluate platforms that can integrate your proprietary experimental data with these new constrained AI models. Danish catalyst leader Topsoe is already calling AI the fifth paradigm of science, integrating it directly into their catalyst, electrolysis, and battery material development. They see it as fundamental.
This all sounds incredibly powerful, but it requires massive capital. Is the private investment there to actually commercialize this at the scale you're describing?
The scale of investment this month is staggering. Prometheus, a company co-led by Jeff Bezos, just raised an astounding $12 billion at a $41 billion valuation. Their goal is to build an artificial general engineer to compress the design cycle for complex products like jet engines and medical devices from years down to months.
$12 billion? That's not just venture capital. That's nation-state level funding.
It signals a major strategic bet on this technology. And it's not just one company. PhysicsX, a London startup, raised $135 million for its AI that reduces complex engineering simulations from days to seconds, with industrial giants Siemens and Applied Materials as investors. This is the supply chain buying into the technology.
What about more focused, specialized applications? Is capital flowing there too?
Yes. Look at Apoha, a startup that just raised $36 million. Their platform, Liquid State Intelligence, trains AI on a unique data set, how materials behave under physical forces like heat and pressure. This is crucial for designing things like food ingredients with a specific texture, or industrial enzymes that function under extreme conditions.
So it's not just about solid-state materials like alloys and semiconductors?
Not at all. It's about proteins, polymers, chemicals, anything where molecular behavior determines performance. And the business model is shifting to platforms and collaboration. Materials company INX just announced a collaboration with Albert Invent, an AI-native R&D operating system. The goal is to collect and structure all of INX's experimental data to make it AI-ready for predicting formulation performance.
This sounds like a critical point for manufacturers. Your historical R&D data is suddenly a priceless asset, but only if it's usable by an AI.
That is the single most important takeaway. The data you've been generating for decades in labs is the fuel for these new AI engines. If it's siloed in spreadsheets and paper notebooks, you can't compete. The actionable insight for executives is to immediately begin a data audit. What proprietary experimental data do you have, and what would it take to structure it for machine learning? This is now a core part of R&D infrastructure.
Troy, let's bring it all together. An incredible amount of activity this week. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners in the US and Europe?
First, the era of AI-driven materials discovery is here, and it is an industrial competition. This is not a research project. With Germany investing 280 million euro in a single gigalab and Prometheus raising $12 billion, the goal is to industrialize discovery and compress manufacturing design cycles. Companies that don't adapt will be out-innovated.
Second,
your internal R&D data has transformed from a simple record into your most valuable strategic asset for AI. As we saw with the INX and Albert Invent partnership, the ability to train AI on your proprietary data to predict outcomes is the new competitive barrier. If your data isn't structured and accessible, you're sitting on untapped value.
And the final takeaway?
The required skill set for R&D teams is changing. You still need deep domain expertise in chemistry and material science, but now you also need data scientists and engineers who can work with these AI tools, what the U.S. Department of Energy calls AI-human collaboration. The actionable step is to assess your team's capabilities and start building those hybrid skills now, because your competitors are.
The speed of discovery is now the main event. A huge thank you, Troy, for translating this complex landscape into clear business intelligence.
A pleasure, Susie.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. To make sure you never miss an insight that could affect your strategy,
Find and subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week with the analysis you need to stay ahead.